thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wole. I'm here, my boy, Will T. I'm about to cue him up right now. Properly. Let me make sure we do this properly. What's good, Will T?
Nothing much, my friend. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, I'm being very active nowadays and on a regimen since I've been quarantined.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's good, man. You know, keep your health up.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's one of the things they say, right, in terms of this time, is to try to keep your immune system up, you know, do what you can to stay healthy. So, yeah, I'm just trying to do my best. Yeah, Ray Jeezy's out as well, man. So, what's going on, man? How was your weekend?
Low-key is just about everyone.
Yeah.
You know, the highlight of my weekend was watching The Last Dance.
Of course, though. We did a lot of texting. We did a lot of texting.
Yeah, we did, man. We did.
I can't wait for that part of the show, man. It's a lot of, you know, got a lot I want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? But okay. I will say, man, I was highly entertained by it, though. Surprisingly, you know what I mean? I was surprisingly entertained by it. I did like I do respect Jordan's candidness. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause and we'll talk about it before, but back in the day when he did pressers, he played a role, right? Like he played a role. Like he was, you know, he was like the CEO of a company. So he played a role in terms of, he never really gave you too much in terms of when he did pressers. After basketball, you know, you pretty much got the cutthroat Jordan in terms of what he thought of certain situations or certain individuals or whatnot. But, you know, like, but to see him like pretty much tell it like it is, it was quite impressive. And also, I want to add this too, man. Like, you could tell this dude got so much clout, man. He had ESPN using the F word, dog. Like, real talk. Like, don't let, you know, The Last Dance distract you, dog. Like, Jordan got so much clout that ESPN was using the F word without beeping it out.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see him that candid, mm-hmm. relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I noticed, his eyes was bloodshot red, man.
I know, Jordan, right? He was, man. You know that. Well, MJ doing, I mean, he's living his best life, right?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, man.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
ESPN wants to get you that, sit you down for 8 hours and talk to you. Might as well have a couple of drinks.
Of course, man.
You know.
Why not?
Looked like Jordan enjoyed his drinks.
He sure did. Again, this dude was living his best life, man. Living his best life.
Yep.
All right. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our new Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scenes, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. We want to have everybody in the sports community, so make sure you check it out. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right. Here's what we have on tap. The Skins' possible NFL draft moves at 8:20. The rest of the NFL draft, and Gronk coming out of retirement and getting traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And finally, at 8:35, we'll discuss the MJ Bulls documentary, The Last Dance, episodes 1 and 2, which aired on Sunday, which Will T and I just discussed. All right, Redskins draft. The NFL draft starts Thursday, my birthday, supposedly. Not supposed to be. It is my birthday.
Yeah, it is your birthday.
The Skins have the second pick overall, and all signs are leaning towards the Skins drafting pass rusher out of Ohio State, Chase Young. Is this the move to make for the Skins?
If you aren't blown off your feet by, well, no, I'm going to go there. Two other possibilities, mm-hmm. that if it was me, I would do. Mm-hmm. Either A, draft Chase Young. I mean, not draft Chase Young. Draft Tua Tagovailoa,
mm-hmm.
or you take a giant haul to move down.
Okay.
And then, if neither one of those things, then you take Chase Young.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
That's
I know
cool.
you don't
I mean,
agree with that.
I mean, but I like Tua. I think, you know, like, I like Tua. I think Tua, and we'll have a discussion about this later, but I think Tua is the best quarterback in the draft. It's not a knock on Tua. I mean, I think your opinion is good in terms. I wouldn't trade. To me, it's got to be the right
trade.
You just said
you think Tua is the best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, but I don't think he's better than Chase Young. I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. I agree. I don't think he's better than Chase Young. I do think, because I mean, I'm just saying.
Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Do you think he is better than Dwayne Haskins?
Yes. I like, but I don't, that's, but again, that's not a knock on Dwayne. Like, I think Dwayne Haskins is good. I think Dwayne Haskins is good. I think, dude, I'm the same dude that said tank for Tua. You know what I'm saying? So I think Tua, to me, Tua and Trevor Lawrence were the two best quarterbacks I've seen in college over the last couple of years. So I'm not going away from that argument. Like, that's how I felt, and I still feel the same way. But I think Dwayne Haskins has the ability to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. I said that when I saw him in college, period. I thought he was – and I'm a Michigan fan. I saw him at Ohio State. Like, this dude can be the truth. So I'm not – it's not a knock on Dwayne. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like if you draft Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, right? One is better than the other, but they're both really good quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a knock on, you know, on Dwayne. I think when you look at what Chase Young has and what he's ranked in terms of the prospect, right? Because all we can go off of is prospect numbers or what how the measurables or whatnot and how they compare him to Joey to Bosa in San Francisco. They say he's a better prospect. Well, he performed better. He's a better prospect than Bosa coming out of Ohio State. So, you know, if you can get that type of talent, I'm cool with Chase Young. I think Chase Young is the pick. But to your point, though, I think if you get the right offer, like say Miami's giving them both their ones, I think you take that. I don't argue that. I think you take that deal.
So if Miami is giving you number five and then one of their number ones next year, you think you take that?
I'll take that in the second rounder. Yes, I'll take it. You get two ones. You're getting two ones. Like what? You'll be look, it's Miami too. Like not.
Well, you're not getting two. You're actually getting an additional one.
An additional one. Two. Well, yeah. I don't know. See, that's true. I mean, still, I would still take that. It depends. Like, I mean, I would think hard about it, but I mean, I would definitely entertain it even more than anything. Like, I would definitely lose sleep over it. I wouldn't play it off. I would lose sleep over it. And it's the Miami Dolphins. Chances are, I'll be sorry next year too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
so you're getting a good pick. And also, I mean, to be real with you, say Miami has the worst record in the league. And the Skins, and you may like Dwayne, but Dwayne ain't, you know, Dwayne and the Redskins are still, say, under 500, maybe of top five team in the draft pool. Shoot, you got a chance to get Trevor Lawrence because Miami may be worse than you. Again, it's growth.
To me, I think you're at a critical juncture in your franchise, right? In the trajectory of your franchise.
Yeah.
True, you spent the number one pick last year on Dwayne Haskins. But if Tua is the guy that can elevate a franchise and the players around him, you have to take a very serious – you have to seriously consider drafting him.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion.
No, I get you. See, this. Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I think again, Tua is that type of dude. But see, I also it goes to this. I think Dwayne's that dude too. You know what I mean? It's not again like you can have. It's like what a two, like the draft that gave out Dan Marino and company, right? Like I think Dan Marino is the best quarterback. You had Dan Marino, John Elway in the same draft. Like one is better than the other. But it's not a knock on either or. Like, it's not a knock on the other. Like, I think Dan Marino was better than John Elway. That's just my opinion, right? That's what I think. I think Dan Marino, in terms of passing quarterbacks, he was better than John Elway. John Elway was just on – at a certain point was on better teams. But it's not a knock on John Elway to say, like, Dan Marino's better. And if you're on the other side of the argument, it's not a knock on Dan Marino if you say John Elway's better. You get what I'm saying? So it's just like, to me – you can look at Tua and say Tua is good, but when you look at I'm talking about the best player in the draft. I think the best player in the draft is Chase Young. It's not, and you get Chase Young, and you still have a quarterback to me that can to me could be a Pro Bowl quarterback, just like I view Tua.
Okay, well,
Philip Rivers, Drew Brees situation. Both were really good quarterbacks, right? One was a Super Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, but. Okay, yeah, that's fair, because I don't think anyone who saw Drew Brees play during his time in San Diego thought that Drew Brees would be who and what he is now.
True. Yeah.
Right. So that's fair. There isn't a person alive that can say when the Chargers took Phillip Rivers that they said, "Oh, that's a huge mistake. Drew Brees is going to turn out to be the all-time leader in passing yards." And top, and I believe also tied for touchdowns or number one in touchdowns also. I don't think there's a person alive who would state that.
No, they wouldn't.
Right?
Mm-mm. No, I think so. That, go ahead.
So,
go ahead,
so I think what you have to do is you have to evaluate just how large is the gap between Tua and Dwayne Haskins.
No, I think, and I think that's fair. Because to your point, I mean, back then, like if you watched Drew Brees and Purdue, you knew he was a good quarterback. Like, you know, he shattered records at Purdue. But in the league, like you're saying, in the league, it with the Chargers, especially what you saw with Phillip Rivers in college at NC State, you know, going against Florida State, which was one of the best programs in football defensively, and he used to light them up. And so you saw what he did against highly talented oppositions with NC State, right? And then so going into that situation, you got, like you said, Drew Brees, who was he was solid, but he didn't look elite in San Diego. He didn't look elite, and anybody who tells you that is just lying. He didn't look elite. He looked good though. He looked like a good quarterback. You're gonna automatically assume that, you know what, Phillip Rivers is the better quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, so no, I'm with you. So all right, Peter King reported that the Skins will likely trade Trent Williams in the draft. What do you think he'll be traded for? If it's up, if you had to think about it, we take a third sack, you know, because obviously the second's looking hard.
A two and a.
You think it'll be a
two and a four?
You think a second this year? Think a second would be this year? Okay.
I don't think it'll be this year. I think it'll be next year. I mean, well, it depends, right? I think you have to look at after the first round, you have to evaluate your board and see how things start to fall. Now, if you're Washington and let's say Cleveland doesn't get a tackle in the first round. Do you call Cleveland and you say, hey, how about your number two this year, your number four next year, or Trent Williams? So I think it's all dependent on how the board plays out, and if teams are willing to give up, and just what are teams willing to give up, right? Mm-hmm. Because you've read some reports that said, you know, right now, Trent Williams, well, you know, none of the tackles project to be as good as Trent Williams is right now in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Right at this point in his career. So do you take a roll of the dice and say, okay, maybe I can get 4 or 5 more years of high productive years of Trent Williams at the left tackle? Or do you say, nah, we're going to take this second round pick and we're going to, you know, build him up to be the player we think we can be. And plus we'll save a lot of salary opposed to, you know, trading for Trent, because also getting Trent means you may have to redo his contract.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it looks like this team will probably get if they get a second round pick. I think it'll be next season. I don't think it'll be. I mean, for the next draft, not this draft. Just because I think leverage has kind of been kind of effed up. For me, from what I've heard, is that they're not going to be lowballing themselves in terms of like just trading Trent for nothing. Like we saw recently, and then I briefly mentioned during the pregame that about Gronkowski getting traded for a fourth rounder. He's a tight end and whatnot, but still at the same time, like in terms of what Trent is, he's a left tackle, and you're like you said, there's no left tackle in this draft pool that's better than Trent or has the ability at this point in time. Looks like they have the ability to be better than Trent. So you're gonna like. The Skins are probably looking at, all right, well, we got to get some type of value. So the best I think they can get at this point in time, at this juncture, is probably a second rounder. And maybe if they get lucky, a fourth rounder this year, a second rounder next year, and a fourth rounder this year. If they can do that, then, you know, they put them in line to make some moves in this draft because they don't have a second round. They don't have a second round pick, but it's always cool to have like a fourth round pick because you can probably get quality in terms of some of the positions they're looking for in the fourth round.
Okay, speaking of those later rounds, other than Chase Young, who should the team target with their third round pick, number 66 overall, their 2 4th rounders, a 5th round, and their 2 7th round picks? Do you think there's any player that's kind of under the radar that will provide tremendous value for your team later in the draft?
See, if I had like there's a safety. I like the safety out of Lenore Ryan. He was on the Skins podcast of somebody who did like a scouting report on him and broke it down to me. His name is Kyle Duggar, and I watched some tape on him via YouTube, like I'm watching real tape and, you know, cutting stuff up, but it's via YouTube. And I like what I saw, man. Dude got playmaking ability. I think that's a dude that's under the radar. I think a lot of scouts now, a lot of folks NFL expert scouts, GMs, they've caught up to Cuz, and now Cuz is like kind of moving up the draft board. But here's a guy, if he slips to the third round at safety, you can pair with Landon Collins. Is a guy that I kind of like, because I like his playmaking ability. He did kickoff returns and you know, he was elusive. So that, to me, that says playmaker, if you can do that type of thing. And he has range. I mean, ran like a 4.4 in the combine, so you know he has speed, and he's a big boy. But I doubt that he would slip there. So there are wide receivers that I like in this draft that I think that can make big plays at the wide receiver position, because this team did try to go after Amari Cooper and they couldn't get Amari, right? So that means they're looking for a wide receiver. I like the kid out of Colorado. Chenault out of Colorado, about 6'2", explosive. He's fast. He reminds me of Larry Fitz a little bit. He had a fast combine. They use him in multiple ways in Colorado, like a Patterson, how Patterson used to be used in Minnesota. But he reminds me of Larry Fitz because he can locate the ball in the air. And so I think the Skins have missed that. That was something that Dotson was supposed to be able to do and didn't do it. This dude right here, he had a good college career. So he was over 1,000 yards last season. So he showed you ability. And also, you know, the tight end situation is still a position that this team needs. I like Randy Moss's son. I like what I saw. He's raw, but I like what I saw. He plays mean. He's athletic. You can see it, though. Like, he, to me, if he gets his hands on the ball, he'll make plays. You know what I'm saying? And you can tell he got that from his dad. Like, that's a dude that I like. I really, really like Randy Moss's son. But I think you can kind of get him in, like, the fourth round. I mean, I wouldn't mind taking a chance on him in the third, but I think get him in the fourth. And also, I liked Dwayne Haskins' teammate, KJ Hill. And, you know, it's funny because KJ Hill was better. If you look at the stats, it was better than McLaurin, right, in Ohio State when they were there together. So, you know, he could be somebody that's valued. And I want to mention also one more sleeper, too, because I did like this dude. I watched him multiple videos and clips. Adam Troutman out of Dayton, small school, tight end. Like, and I heard he had a good senior bowl. Like, dude could be an animal. 6'6", 2", tight end. Dude can be a real animal. And I think, but he, to me, that's a guy that you got to get in a third if you get lucky. I think that the league is called up. Like, dude will probably be drafted in the top two rounds. But he broke records in Dayton. He's a guy, to me, that if the Skins drafted, like, I wouldn't be mad. But I feel like there's a dude on the trading block already, a tight end, in OJ Howard, because we're going to talk about later with Gronk. Like, there's nobody that has the ability of OJ Howard, though, that's with Tampa right now.
Man, you really broke down a lot of
things. I know, right? You know, I did.
You need to pick up a book, my brother.
Bro, I did so much work. I could have talked about, like, KJ Hamler out of Penn State. Like, that dude, but he's too short, and there he got Steven Sims Jr. But that dude, like, to me, out of anybody who impressed me the most, out of me watching, like, clips today, dude out of Penn State, KJ Hamler, was it, dude. He reminded me of, but more like wiggle and playmaking ability, but not as fast like a Tyreek Hill. But he's not as fast as Tyreek, but he looks the part, though. Like, he gets the ball in his hands, he's out. So, yes, dude, okay. I did a lot of work, Will.
You did, man. I'm sure that, you know, all the other amateur draft pundits, much like yourself, are really impressed by it.
Thank you, man.
Let me ask you this question.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead, man.
Why is it that people put so much, like fans, put so much time and energy into knowing all of these prospects, right? Or acting like they know all of these prospects, mm-hmm. know about all of these prospects. Why? What is it that makes people want to spend that much time and energy on it?
I don't know. To be honest with you, for me personally, I'm cool with just watching college football. Like, in terms of, like, my normal Saturday. And then I can kind of come up with what I know. Like, for me, being a Michigan fan, I've seen enough of KJ Hill, right? So I already knew that KJ Hill can ball. But I don't like going back and kind of, like, trying to do tape and, like, reviewing. I just did it for the show. But, like, I don't like to go back and kind of review, you know what I mean, other players. It's not my thing. I'm with you. It's not my thing.
I have a friend. He buys the draft guide every year.
He buys the draft guide. He studies it.
Yes, he does.
For real? Tough.
Yes, he studies it religiously.
Tough. Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not about that life, Will T. You already know I'm not about. I don't have that much time.
He watches the combine.
Well, we already know. We talked about this, the combine stuff. That's insane.
It's the underwear Olympics.
Yeah.
I'm good.
We've talked about this before on prior shows that I use the combine as a to confirm my opinion of the individual. It's not the number one thing. It's a confirmation to say, oh yeah, you have a vicious combine and you was balling on Saturdays. Like, yeah, you didn't show what you've been about. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. It's the added cherry on the top. That's all the combine is to me. It's not the substance of it. It's just the added cherry on the top. You know what I mean? If you have a thorough combine and your games on Saturday were meh, that it doesn't do anything for me. I still hold what you did on Saturdays over anything you do on the combine. You know what I'm saying? Like that's why. Some people like kind of still. I mean, they have a good combine and they just get drafted by the right coach and they use them right. But I don't think like they're better than certain individuals if they, you know, like they're featured. Like Alvin Kamara to me is a dude that was, you know, had a good combine, you know, and he's featured right. But would he be the same dude in a different offense? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like some dudes some dudes in certain offenses will be good regardless. So it just depends, man. But yeah,
well,
I'm not that dude.
I'm just curious. Just curious. That's all. Asking a question.
I know. And it was a solid question, my man. Solid question. All right, we're going to talk about the rest of the NFL draft and Gronk getting traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Big pimpin', baby. That's right. Big pimpin', spinning cheese. You know I thug them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuts, gonna freeze them. First time they fuss, I'm breezing. Talk about what's the reasons. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, why am I? Better trust and believe them. In the cup where I keep them, till I need the world, till I need to beat it up, then it's BB, then I'm picking them up, then I play with it, cooking the truck. Many chicks wanna put jigger piston cuffs, divorce them and split his bucks. Just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up.
We don't like big pimping, man. UGK. J. All right, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T. Ray Jeezy is out. All right. D. Patriots traded Rob Gronkowski and a 7th rounder to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a 4th rounder. Thoughts, Will T?
Gronk must have really hated it in New England. Yeah. That's my immediate first thought.
Me too.
To give up, I forgot how much he would have made. I think he made 10. His contract is still 10 years, so he has one more year, 10 year.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give up 10 year, $10 million to play for Coach Belichick? Like and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, or maybe it was just a mismatch of his personality and the culture up there. Maybe it became monotonous and got to him, where he decided he wanted to sit out a year and wait until Tom Brady made his move and then say, hey, I want to go to Tampa.
Do you think they both plotted this out? Like, hey, I'm going to leave here and you trying to come with me? Do you think this is something that was plotted out?
I think I'm not going to say plotted out. I think there was a discussion that was had sometime in between Gronk retiring and Tom Brady joining, and before Tom Brady joined the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think there was a conversation that, you know, Brady was just, may have told him, hey, after this year, I'm out. Gronk said, well, I'm going to retire and let my body heal. Then when you decide on where you want to go, let me know, because I'm coming with you. I think that's, you know, I don't think it's unfathomable for us to think that they had that type of conversation.
Yeah,
down the line.
Yeah, I think they did too. I think, you know, as soon as Brady leaves, I mean, you make it sound like retirement life was, you know, where it was, what it was. And the only reason, like you said, you want to come back to the league you want to go elsewhere. You just want to go with Tom Brady. I think definitely they had that conversation. You know what I mean? Like the Patriots, regardless of the fact of what you think about, I mean, let's be real. The Patriots as an organization is a championship organization, man. Like, Bill Belichick is the best coach in football. So you're going, you're leaving the best coach in football in terms of wins and losses, right? In terms
of wins Bill and losses. Belichick with Tom Brady.
Yeah, with Tom Brady. Yeah, but we've seen Bill Belichick. Yeah, that's true.
Football.
Yeah, that's true. But we've seen Bill Belichick.
I mean, Bill Belichick didn't win. He didn't win in Cleveland.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't. But with
He was starting to turn it around.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
To his credit, he was starting to turn it around. He never won it, and Brady never, you know.
Yeah.
And we've never seen what Tom Brady could do without Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and we've seen Bill Belichick in New England go 11-5. Didn't make the playoffs, but being 11-5 is amazing. But went 11-5 without Tom Brady with Matt Castle, right? So at the end of the day, like, that's still, you know, Bill Belichick is just, you know, his what he runs, his system, and the ship he runs out there in New England, you know, he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT of coaching. So for Gronk not to come back to that and to go, you know, and just to want to piggyback with, you know, not piggyback, that's the wrong term, but to wanting to join Tom Brady. Team up with Tom Brady. I look at it like, all right, like you know what, they talked. They obviously talked. And they probably talked, and I'm sure, I mean, they talked. This thing was plotted out or discussed, to put it that way, discussed when Gronk, probably a little bit of last season, during last season, maybe before, and Gronk was like, you know what, if you can get out of here, man, I'm coming with you.
Yeah, I totally agree. What would be interesting to see, or what would be interesting to, you know, we know it's not going to come up during this season, but, you know, maybe a year or two from now when Tom Brady's, you know, leaves the game and he starts to distance himself from football, to hear some of the stories about him and the dynamic between him and Coach Belichick.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear it too, man. It's going to be some real stuff.
And then also Gronk, you know, what would force him to retire from football, give up the opportunity to potentially win another Super Bowl, and then come back to play, you know, in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and then you got to get, and Tampa Bay already has, they have a bunch of tight ends. I mean, you got, I think Brate, is Brate still there?
Yeah.
All right, Brate, you got Brate, Ojo, OJ Howard, you know what I'm saying, who's probably, he's already on the trading block. We already talked about, discussed it a little bit. And Gronk, somebody's have, I mean, you know, probably, you're probably going to trade OJ Howard. So, like,
but would you?
I wouldn't.
Just thinking long term.
I wouldn't trade OJ, because Gronk isn't long term anyway. I know what you're saying. Gronk, even Tom Brady isn't long term. You know what I mean? Like, Tom Brady is about a year, right? Let's be real, man. Like, Tom Brady is about a year or two. You know, do you really think Tom Brady's playing the age of 45 or something? No, man. Tom Brady's about 40. Like, he's 40. He gives you about 2 years of NFL football.
Yeah.
I'm stretching at best. Like, even the way they gave up on Jameis is, to a certain extent, it's like, all right, I get it, but what's your contingency plan? Because it's hard to win a Super Bowl, right? Like, we make it sound like you get Tom Brady, you're automatically going to win a Super Bowl. San Francisco got rid of, like Joe Montana was doing it, and he went to Kansas City, and they won, but they didn't get to no bowl. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you're just giving up on the future, but you're like not planning ahead, and you're just thinking about now, like it's a guarantee. And and especially when you're not a totally well-rounded team anyway. You're okay offensively, but you're not a well-rounded team all around the board anyway. So it's going to be interesting, man. It is. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, OJ Howard, still a young dude with a bunch of ability. Like, you're going to trade that kid away? All right. I mean, it may be something we don't know about, bro. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
All right, so it looks like Joe Burrow will be taking number one in this draft by the Cincinnati Bengals. Is he the best player in the draft to you?
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had the best year.
Yeah.
You know, he had one amazing year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, we've seen in the NFL – players who have, at least from the quarterback position, who have two good years usually fare well better than a guy who's had one really good year.
Agreed.
You know, he had a historic year, threw 60 touchdowns. Won a national championship, player of the year, Heisman Trophy winner, all the accolades. But what I would have to question is, why was it just this one amazing year opposed to me taking a guy like Tua, who's shown that even under the brightest of lights, coming off the bench as a true freshman, mm-hmm. throwing that pass, that clutch pass to win the national championship, and then, you know, his two subsequent years, that's who I would target, if all things being equal. And if I were at the GM of a team, but.
No, I think the best quarterback in the draft is Tua. And to your point, I think the best player, and I said it earlier, is Chase Young, but I think Tua is the best player in this draft. But, I mean, best quarterback in this draft. And to your point, like, you just said it. You know what I mean? Like, Tua came in, everybody loved Hurd, right? Everybody thought Jalen Hurd was great. You know what I'm saying? And you brought in Tua, and he was lights. He was 10 times better. And being, like you said, he was clutch. You know what I mean? He was clutch coming in relief. So why, and it was consistent after that. And people are going to say, like, yeah, man, he had talent in Bama, blah, blah. Well, Joe Burrow had talent in LSU, all right?
Yeah, Joe Burrow has two wide receivers who will most likely be drafted in the first two rounds. Mm-hmm. He had a running back who was dynamic, mm-hmm. Clyde Edwards. Can't pronounce his last. Helaire, mm-hmm. That's his last name. I'm forgetting. Mm-hmm. Slipping my mind. Mm-hmm. And then he also had an offense, a scheme that allowed him to throw to a lot of open windows.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think that's the most important thing, though. He had an offensive scheme that was elite. You know what I mean? Like, now this dude has been talked about to being a head coach soon in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, this is not... Like Joe Burrow, it's not a knock on Joe Burrow, right? Like, he had a phenomenal season. But it's to like what you're saying, it's been shown in the NFL. Like, 1 year isn't gonna make you a star. You dig what I'm saying? Consistency is gonna make you a star. Like, all right, prime example. Like, look at Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III, right? Andrew Luck was consistent throughout. Not a knock on, and RG3 wasn't bad, you know, his other years, but he came to the scene that last year, though, right? Like, it was mm-hmm. off the charts. You know what I'm saying? But Andrew Luck has always been Andrew Luck. He's always did it. Who would you think would have the better career? Like, to me, I always knew it would be Andrew Luck, because he's always been that dude. You know what I'm saying? He's always been that dude. You know what I'm saying? So, and he's had the, you know, even though it's been shortened, he's had the better career.
Well, I mean, even we can talk about the current quarterback of Washington, you know, Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Haskins, his 2018 was amazing. Mm-hmm. I believe he 70% completion, threw like 50 touchdowns, almost 5,000 yards, mm-hmm. had one amazing year.
Yeah.
You know, like me, when it comes to that position, I want
more,
a larger sample size, and I want that consistency over two, possibly 3 years.
No, and that's fair. I will say this for Dwayne, though, because, again, being a Michigan fan, I saw enough prior to even him starting that year when he came in relief for what's the quarterback? God, what's his name? His name?
Barrett.
Yeah, Barrett. Thank you. Barrett. When he came, like, he was 10 times better than Barrett. I say Andre. He was 10 times better than Barrett. Like, it's like when Barrett came back, I was like, thank you. Like, he was 10 times better. You can see it as a freshman. Like, you could see it. Like, he was better than Barrett. And, like, my mind was like, why is this dude not even starting? Like, he was cool, calm, can make the throws. So I wasn't surprised that the year that he was going to be a starter, like, he would put up numbers. Like, I wasn't – with Ohio State's talent, and, you know, and people have to understand that talent does play a part. When Ohio State's talent, with his skill set, he was going to fry. You know what I mean? But, yeah, to your point, though, Will T, you do want your quarterback, a guy that you draft, to have 2 years of starting football. Like, I agree with you. You do want that.
Yeah.
So I posed a question on our social media platforms. You can at Urban Sports Scene on Twitter, our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, and our new Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. On our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, this is referring to is Joe Burrow the best player in the draft? My man Raymond Sneed said, nope, Haskins beat him out at Ohio State. and he was classes behind Burrow. His prior season, last season at LSU was, Basura. Based on those numbers, he would have been a late round pick at best. He was blessed with considerable talent this past season, which led to some pretty gaudy numbers. He did play well his last year, but now sure how his translates to the pros. His arm strength is not great either. Kid is smart though. He's smart. He anticipates well. But his arm strength is questionable to me. I don't know how well that would be in the league. Did you like his arm strength?
I'm not gonna say he has a cannon. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he has enough of an arm to be successful in the NFL, depending on the scheme.
Got you.
You know, I don't think you can ask him to, you know, make throws that Aaron Rodgers makes all the way down the field, mm-hmm. or even Matthew Stafford. But I think if you get him in a system where the majority of throws are going to be in between the hashes, I think you'd be just fine.
All right, man. George posted he's not even the best quarterback. That's Tua if the injuries don't wreck his career in the draft. No, Young, Simmons, Brown are all better. Are all probably better than Joe Burrow. That's what kind of amazes me about the NFL draft. Like, and my man Ron Dorsey said a note because Chase Young and Simmons are in the draft. That's what gets me about the NFL draft. Like, no one really, like, sometimes when you're a bad team, we always assume that you gotta go quarterback. But sometimes it's just a better player. Like, the Bengals, like, if they wanted to stick with, like, Dalton, they could. And the better player is a defensive player. You know what I mean? Like if you feel like the better player is Simmons or Chase Young, how come you can't draft those individuals?
It's the premium that people put on the quarterback position, and also the hope that the guy you're getting is the guy that can change the trajectory of your franchise. Mm. I think that's what it is. You know, so we put so much of a premium on a championship winning quarterback that, you know, sometimes teams become blinded to, hey, he's not the best player.
Yeah.
Let's take the best player.
Right, especially when these scouts are telling you these grades, like, you know, we graded out, say it's Simmons. We graded out Simmons as the best all-around talent in this draft. I'm like, all right, well, if I don't have a quarterback and my quarterback is garbage, I mean, my quarterback is good and solid, you know what I mean, and I got the first pick overall, like, maybe I may want to get Simmons. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would think that, because that's how the NBA works, right? The NBA is not always like we're going to get the NBA is always all about getting the best player, period, right? Like, if you got the number one pick, it's all about getting the best player, who you feel is the best player. So it's like, I don't know, like, the NFL always does things the wrong, like, they're always backwards to me to like, they've gone to this whole thought process, like, you need to have, like, that quarterback. Is like, look at the Niners this last season. Garoppolo, like, he went games where he didn't throw the ball at all, and they still won. So it is what it is. All right. We talked about the documentary a couple weeks ago, but now it's here. We'll talk about the first two episodes of The Last Dance after break. Listen to the Urban Sports Team.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Y'all know what time it is, man. We hear that song, y'all know what time it is. I can't do dude's voice, though. Y'all already know I can't do his voice. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, Ray Jeezy is out. All right. Episode 1 and 2 of the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls documentary, The Last Dance, was down Sunday. Was lit Sunday. You had everybody talking about it. The documentary is supposed to focus on the Bulls' last championship run. Your thoughts on the documentary, the first two episodes?
I think so. Here's my honest opinion. The first two episodes were extremely slow. Mm. Only reason being because I grew up during the 90s and I knew, you know, I was a huge fan of Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. So the first two, I understand why you had to do it, because there's a whole generation who never saw Michael Jordan play basketball. Mm-hmm. All they know of him is the tennis shoes, right? Mm-hmm. So I understand you had to, you know, introduce him to a whole nother demographic. One thing I could have, you know, they could have cut out on is the, you know, going back and, you know, starting at one point in the, you know, in the near past and going all the way back to the 80s and,
I like that either.
You know, then bringing us back. But, I'm glad they got the first, not to say they were terrible or anything. I'm glad they got all that out the way. So now we can start to focus on, you know, the meat, the things that we really didn't know about that championship run of the Bulls, mm-hmm. the things that either the media in Chicago or national media were afraid to discuss that they knew, or, you know, things that Michael Jordan just didn't let people in to know mm-hmm. about him during that time. So I'm excited for episodes 3 and 4 this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm with you, though. I didn't like the back and forth. Like, I like things done in order. But I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to tell a story, right? So you got to, like, let folks know, you know, what he was about and what he had to deal with to get to that point, right? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, in essence, it's about the last, you know, it's supposed to be about the last season, right? But you still got to tell a story. You got to talk about, you know, how he got to this point, how Scotty got to this point. You know what I'm saying? So, and, you know, what the trials and tribulations were and what, you know, the coaches he had to deal with and also, you know, the front office and how that team was assembled. It was all there, you know what I mean? So you got a good understanding of that. And also you got to understand what drove him, right? You know, trying to be better than his brother, wanting to be better than his brother, wanting his father's adulation and whatnot.
Approval.
Yeah. Thank you. Wanting his father's approval. And so you saw, you know, where that passion, that drive came from. But I enjoyed it, man. I told it like, yeah, and everybody knows I'm not the biggest Jordan fan, but I do respect greatness. And I just like this candidness, you know what I'm saying? Like, to that thought process to know, you know what, you know, I don't care what people think. I'm gonna tell you my truth. You know what I'm saying? How I felt at the time. You know what I mean? A lot of people like to be PC, but he wasn't. He was telling you what he felt, and right or wrong, you know, that's how he felt. But that's what made him a dog, right? You know what I'm saying? That's what made him a dude that can compete and wanted to cut your neck off. So, you know, I appreciate it, man. It was good. It was well done. You got to learn a lot about him. You sure did. I think you got to learn a lot about him.
I was in, you know, it was interesting to hear the dynamic between him and Jerry Krause. You know, rest in peace to Jerry Krause. But it was interesting to hear that dynamic, you know, his eyes, the dynamic of their relationship. And then also Scottie Pippen, from his perspective, you know, how he truly felt about, you know, that contract. You know, I know that at the time, it was trash. And then I also, you know, I understand that Jerry Reinsdorf had a policy, you know, you sign the contract, you live by the contract, right? But he didn't take into consideration that things from an economic standpoint changed dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
From when Scottie Pippen signed that contract to when he was out of that contract.
Yeah.
No.
But didn't they
No one foresaw Scottie Pippen being that important to the team.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
no one foresaw, you know, the explosion in NBA television rights, the money, you know, the sponsorships, and then also the television rights money. Mm-hmm. So it was crazy. He was the arguably second most important player on any team.
Yes.
In the NBA, only behind Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was the 122nd highest paid player.
I mean, it gets to a point where, like,
it's crazy.
I mean, like, I've always said, like, Scotty is, like, I think there were better players in his era than Scotty, but still, he was an all-time great, so it's not a knock on Scotty, right? He's the all-time great, so when I mean that there were other players better, it's not saying that Scotty wasn't good. Scotty was still an all-time great. Again, like, you had two dudes on the same team that was at that time when they came up with the top 50 list, Scotty was on it. You know what I mean? So you have two dudes on that list on the same team. You know, other than Stockton, you know, in that era and still playing basketball, Stockton and Malone, that was it. You know what I'm saying? At that time. So it's just amazing that that type of dude is underpaid, like, paid that low. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about 50 of the greatest players ever, and Scottie Pippen's on that list, and he's paid that low in that era of the NBA. You know what I mean? It's not like, I get it, you know, years ago, right? Like, that deal would be good. But in that era of the league, that deal was still trash. You know, so, and, like, you still had the opportunity. I mean, he gave Phil Jackson the one-year extension for, like, a year. I mean, for six mil. So, to me, could have done it.
Yeah, something could have been done.
Yeah, you know.
Something could have been done.
So, it's just, when I look at
it. But then again, you know, Scotty, his representation may have not, you know.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
You know, maybe his representation didn't. And by representation, I mean his agent and or lawyers didn't. Didn't have his best interest in mind. Because, you know, who was to say you couldn't have signed a 7-year contract with the last 3 years voidable if you reach certain covenants, you know, so.
No, definitely. His agent's to blame at the same time. I mean, at that time, too. I guess the thing, you heard me talk about it, too, on the text. The thing that got me, run me the wrong way, because I always think of myself as a pro player type of dude. I don't really fool with organizations, because organizations can do you dirty anyway, as we've seen with Scotty and the whole Bulls organization. But, like, Jordan calling him selfish kind of cut. I was like, yo, this dude is cutthroat, dog. I was like,
I understood where he was coming from, but at the same time, this was the same guy in Michael Jordan who, during the strike, that's a different context. This is the same man that at one point, complained about himself being, you know, underpaid.
Yeah.
And voiced his opinion very loudly and also said, you know, wasn't about to held out, but voiced his opinion very loudly about his pay. Mm-hmm. My thing is, look, if one of your guys is fighting to get what he feels is just fair, get his just due, I don't necessarily think you can call it selfish. You know, Scottie Pippen was looking out for his own best interest.
Yeah.
And if Michael Jordan really wanted to look out for Scottie Pippen's interest, he would have went to the Bulls and say, all right, y'all need to do something with Pippen's contract.
Because
there's no way in hell you can't make me believe that Michael Jordan didn't have the sway.
There you go.
To go into that front office and say, y'all need to do something about Pip's contract.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. That's my point. I don't want to say it because everybody's going to say I'm a hater. Like, that's what I don't want to say. Like, that's my point. Like, Jordan has so much clout. It's Jordan. Like, let's keep it a buck. It's Jordan, man. The dude got ESPN to say the F word, bro. You already know he got clout. That's the power of Jordan, man. That's the power of Jordan.
I mean, but it was Sunday after 9:00.
Look, bro, like, yo, ESPN basketball games, bro, they be beeping stuff out. Like, dude, the documentary, and they folks were saying the F word left and right. Much respect to this dude, dog. You have no idea how much respect I have for him having that.
But one thing that was kind of telling in the documentary was, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe Jordan didn't have the clout to go into the front office, because you never, ever heard him criticizing
the owner,
or say, yeah, criticizing the owner and Jerry Reinsdorf for any of the players he selected, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like we ever heard of him going to the front office and saying, you got to get this guy out of here.
Yeah, that's true.
Or, you know,
I never heard of it.
You need to bring this guy in.
I mean, maybe
they address it further on in the documentary, but.
No, I mean, it's crazy. Cause I mean, he got players that fit what he, I mean, they got players. And what you got to give Jerry Reinsdorf credit for is that he did build a team that fit.
Jerry Krause.
He did put a team that fit, you know, Jordan's skill set. You know what I'm saying? The team was constructed well. You know what I mean? A team, you had Phil Jackson's system. You had Ron Harper who can guard. And they didn't have the traditional point guard, but who can guard your twos, your threes, your ones. You had Jordan who can play defense. You had Scotty who can strap, slash. They had shooters. They come off the bench. You know what I'm saying? So they constructed a good team around Jordan. Obviously, Dennis Rodman bringing him to the fold for the last three championships. Prior to that, having Horace Grant, who was a good power forward for the system. I mean, they constructed a good team around Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, so what did you, out of the documentary, what did you find out about, you know, that run from the first two episodes that you didn't know?
First two episodes
that you didn't
just
know.
how bad the disrespect was from Pippen and Jordan
to
Jerry Krause.
That was real.
That's something I didn't know. That's something I absolutely had no clue about. I didn't know anything about that, the level of disrespect that was going on from those two towards him, or just how much they thought that he really, I'm not going to say he didn't have a role in constructing the championship team, mm-hmm. but they didn't think he was as big of a asset to them to winning that championship.
I think Jordan pretty much kept it a buck. Jordan said that, like, we know we're a team. Like, everybody's organization is a team. Like, we know that. We know that they're important. So I'm not gonna try to diminish anything. And I'm not saying this verbatim. Like, this is not verbatim, but this is basically what it is. But he was like, the players are more important, though. Don't get it twisted. Like, the players are more important. So it's like Jordan just didn't care. Like, basically, even to this day.
Yeah. But this is the thing though. It's good that Michael Jordan. It's fine to Danny that he's admitting that now. But Michael Jordan is a owner.
Yeah, true.
And Michael Jordan just allowed Kemba Walker
Ooh.
To leave
good point.
Charlotte and go to Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, he can say that it's the players all he wants, but you just allow the arguably the best player
in
the history of your franchise
true.
To walk out of the door from Carolina to go to Boston, and you got Terry Rozier back.
Mm. I'm sorry, that's a good point, bro. George just tweeted us. He said, I don't think they had opt-outs and voidable years in that era. So it's not like Pippen could do that. All the Pippen love is making me want to throw up, by the way.
He wasn't that good without MJ and
Phil Jackson. Dang, George.
Listen, George. Don't let your facts get in the way of me making my point, okay? Let me say what I got to say. Facts be damned. And you just email us after the show, all right? Jesus.
I will say this, George.
Still got love for you, though, man.
Hey, George, man, we know we love you, man. I will say, man, George Pippen was that good, man. And I think we got, like, he was that good. Like, watching him, I'm not saying that he was better than Dominique, because that's a player that I think that's so undervalued or whatnot, because he was that dog. Dominique had to lead the squad. But in terms of being your two-man, your bat, your Robin, and to be that good at being Robin, like Pippen is valuable, man. And you saw it. And I'm gonna keep saying it. You saw when Jordan left what he did. Like, he showed you that he was capable of being that dude. And even when he went to Portland, like, his leadership helped Portland get to the Western Conference Finals. They really should have beat the Lakers. They didn't choke, but his leadership, like, led them to that point. So yeah, to me, like, Pippen was that dude. And even adding Phil Jackson. Like, having him cultivating that situation was great too, but Pippen was that dude, man. We can't. Let's not diminish Scottie Pippen. I'm telling you, I watched 91-92 after game one and saw what Phil did to put Pippen on Magic. And then tell me how Pippen isn't valuable.
Yeah. Look, Scotty, I think where it gets lost in translation when we talk about Scottie Pippen is a lot of people, when we think of the best players, we think of guys that average like 25 plus, so yeah, almost 30 points mm-hmm. a game, right? What that wasn't Scottie Pippen's game, right? I believe that the most points that he averaged 22. Was like 22.
Yeah, 22. Yeah.
Was like 22 points, mm-hmm. but it was his all around game, you know. On offense, on defense, you know, his mm-hmm. ability to make plays for himself and make plays for others. His ability to take your best offensive player out of the game.
Yeah.
No. You know, so there are a lot of intricacies and a lot of things that Scottie Pippen did that he doesn't get, that he doesn't get the recognition for. And, you know, let's be honest, up until that point, no one was really thinking of guys being like a point forward.
Yeah, they weren't.
You know, Scottie Pippen really, you know, his ball hand, you know, became a better ball handler and a better outside perimeter scorer. You know, he was able to, you know, change the game.
Man, what I loved about the first two episodes is they showed you the value of Scottie Pippen. You know what I mean? I said this before. And I get it. People try to use certain information to like boost up their argument, so they kind of omit things. But I'm just glad it showed the importance of Scottie Pippen. Jordan even said it. It would be no Jordan if it wasn't, you know what I mean, that run if it wasn't for Scottie. You gotta mention them hand in hand. And because we forget how great Scottie was to Jordan and what he allowed him to do. Like even though it's a short clip at towards the end of the episode 2, you saw the struggle with not having Scottie Pippen on the team. You know what I'm saying? So like, understand his value. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that Scottie's more valuable than Jordan. We all know that Jordan's more valuable than Scottie, but Scottie is valuable to Jordan winning X amount of championships, right? If there's absolutely, no Scottie, they're not winning six. You get what I'm saying?
No. and the thing it for as great as Jordan was defensively, what people fail to realize or put into context, when those championship years, Scottie Pippen was playing the best player. Offensive yeah. wing player for three quarters, mm-hmm. sometimes four quarters. Yeah. And Jordan would switch up at certain instances, you mm-hmm. know, probably in the fourth quarter when he really felt up to the challenge and really wanted to, you know, put the game away. Yeah, Jordan would guard the best offensive, the opposing team's best offensive wing player. But for 45, 40 of those minutes, it was Scottie Pippen.
All right, hold on. My man George tweeted again. Said, I would happily come on your show and argue about Pippen for an hour. When Rodman was in Detroit, he owned Pippen. All right, that's true. He did own Pippen. and you mentioned Portland. Job in Portland kills your argument. He was MIA in that fourth quarter and wasn't great in the last three games either.
Once again, your facts are getting in the way of me making my point, George.
Oh, man. I love this dude, man.
People can say what they want. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
My opinion. Mm. Scottie Pippen is the best number two player ever in the history of the NBA, just because of all the things he could do. I know George may tweet back at us saying, no, he's not.
I would say Dwayne
Wade. Just my opinion, George. For a sustained period.
Yeah,
right?
It's a good point, yeah.
For a sustained period. You know, he was the ultimate compliment. Almost took the Bulls back to
finals, yeah.
To the finals, if it wasn't for a blown call in game seven versus the Knicks, which, hey, I'm a Knicks fan, so I was happy for him.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But he almost took him back to the championship. So, you know. George and I can agree to disagree.
I know. Yeah, exactly. All right. So I posted this question to say about, you know, what didn't you know about that Jordan, that Bulls run prior to the, with the, what did you learn from the first two episodes that you didn't know from that prior, from the first two episodes? I post on our Twitter page, our Facebook page, and our Facebook group page. And on, I'm trying to pull it up right now, on our group page, if I can pull it up. Yes, I can. Here we go. My man, Ivan Jones, Chief, said Pippen stayed. I'm sorry, Pippen played a bigger role in their team success that people seem to minimize today. Jordan was part of the greatest duo in basketball, but he won championships by, but he won championships by himself. I think he may, didn't win championships by himself. Don't go together. Oh, I get it. Don't go. All right, let me read that over again. Jordan was part of the greatest duo in basketball, but he won championships by himself. Don't go together. MJ was great, spectacular, unstoppable, but he had a great team too.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great coach. He had role players that played that, you know, everyone knew their role. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone knew their role and everyone abided by it. You didn't have some of what you hear in other NBA locker rooms where guys, you know that they aren't the best player on their team, but they try to, you know, get outside of their role and for the sake of them, mm-hmm. you know, so they can hog the spotlight. Right. Just didn't have that with those Chicago Bulls teams.
That's true. All right. So Darren Williams said, I learned that Scottie Pippen's career should have held more value. I knew his worth to MJ and the Bulls. Too bad the Bulls didn't. No, I mean, yeah. Okay. I mean, to me, again, I'm just happy that these episodes showed, you know, the value of Scottie Pippen. Because, you know, we hear a lot, like, certain players do it by themselves, right? You know what I'm saying? We all know as basketball fans and true basketball enthusiasts that you like one person just doesn't do it by himself. There's only a couple, and we talked about it before. There's only a couple teams that have one superstar win a championship without having like their Robin being like an all-time great or deemed a true all-star, right? And that's probably like Hakeem Olajuwon, which we discussed. And you can, like, I used to say Dirk Nowitzki. You said Josh Howard was an all-star that year. But you know what I mean? Like,
Josh Howard was an all-star.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm just saying, like, Josh Howard. And, like.
And he had Jason Kidd.
Yeah, but that's the old Jason Kidd. That don't count, man. That Jason Kidd's not. That's, like, that's not the same Jason Kidd, though. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Right? And then the Detroit Pistons team that won the championship.
Yeah. That's the Detroit Pistons team is a great example, right? So, it's rare. My point is that it's rare. So, people make this argument like Jordan did it by himself, you know what I mean? Or like LeBron, or LeBron had help, but everybody had help. You know what I'm saying? Magic too. Magic had help. Bird had help. Like all of the all time, Isaiah had Joe Dumars, and Isaiah beat everybody. You know what I'm saying? He beat the Celtics. He beat the Bulls. He beat the Lakers. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you could argue
doesn't
and say
get enough credit.
It doesn't get enough credit. You could argue and say that Isaiah's teams weren't as stacked as those other teams. You could make that argument. You know what I'm saying? So like. When you look at what you look at, so like my thing is that every champion needs that dude, and that dude usually has to play at the highest level. That's why we had this argument with last week about Pat. Like Pat didn't play with nobody great. He played with good teams, but nobody great. You know what I mean? So like, I get that people like to make an argument about goats and whatnot. I get it. I'm not, you know, I'm mad at it, and that's your preference. And everybody, you know what I mean? Like, my preference is Magic, and I've always said that. But I'm not knocking nobody anymore for saying Jordan's a goat. All I will do is give you my 2 cents, and that's it. So I'm not acting. So I don't want nobody to say, Wally, you a hater, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. All I'm saying is that, you know what I mean? Like, when it comes to winning championships, everybody need that vicious Robin. You know what I'm saying? You need that vicious Robin. So that's all I'm saying. So, and anybody who's listening to the show and thought I was going to bash Jordan, I didn't. You know what I mean? I did my job. You know what I'm saying? But I will say this, though. Phil Jackson needs a lot of credit, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of credit.
I mean, people try to take away from Phil because he only won championships with the Lakers and the Bulls, and those Lakers and Bulls team had, you know, arguably the best players of their era.
Yeah. But I will say this about that, though. Like, Jordan, how many championships did Jordan win without Phil?
None.
How many championships did Kobe win without Phil?
None.
There you go. That lets you know already. That's how I look at it. Not to say, like, it lets you know that that's greatness. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of the fact. Like, Shaq went to Miami to play with who to win a championship? Pat Riley. So it's different. Like, that's Pat Riley's a championship coach anyway. But Like, but prior to going to Pat Riley, Shaq was the same way. You dig what I'm saying? So I don't usually, like, to me, like, Phil is a big reason. There's a reason why Jordan, you know what I'm saying, Phil had, you know, Jordan wasn't going to play if Phil didn't come back. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason for that. Players aren't stupid. You know what I'm saying? Basketball players aren't stupid. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you chasing six, you know, like, what's going to help you win. Bringing in Tim Floyd isn't going to help you win. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Jordan wasn't stupid. Like, Jordan, that's why I even think that Jordan was talking about, like, being somebody being, at that time, how he felt about Pippen being selfish. Because, you know, Jordan's chasing six. He trying to have that number. I ain't knocking him. It's trying to be better than the next man. It's competition.
Yep.
I get it. You know, I totally get it. All right, man, this has been a great show, man. We're going to talk about, you know, hopefully episodes three, four next week, man. Hopefully, yep. Ray will be there, man. You know what I'm saying? I wanted Ray to be here because, you know, Scottie Pippen's his dude. Like, that was his favorite basketball player.
I mean, Ray could have been here. He chose not to.
And that's real talking, dog. You know what I'm saying? He could have been here.
I'm just being like Jordan. You know, I'm chasing my ring. Ray decided not to be here. He's being selfish.
I know he was being selfish, man. You know what I'm saying? Maybe because, like, I felt like he felt a certain way by, you know, having, like, Team Darkness. And, you know, he didn't respond well to that. You know what I'm saying? He had, like, little side comments to that. I don't know.
Gotta get on the bus, man.
Gotta get on the bus. Got to, man. All right, man. This has been a great show, man. Will, do you want to say anything to the people before we, like, you know, head out?
Yeah, I want to wish you a happy birthday Thursday.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Another blessed year, you know, be on this earth and we'll continue to do this show.
Yeah.
And just thank you for everybody for listening to the show.
All right, we appreciate y'all, man. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You did?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out big, homie. Thank you.